The first part, I'm just going to repeat what everybody knows, but just make it so it's clear in everybody's mind. We've said this before many times, but we've said that the position of moving, the movement from being Christ in you to you in Christ occurs on the fast of Ab. And the reason is that for you to move from Christ in you to you in Christ, you have to see you won't do it unless you see that your Jerusalem after the flesh has been destroyed. As long as you have hope in any other thing, if there's one stone still piled upon another, then your idolatry will keep you from entering in to the in Christ position. And that's not a should or an ought to, it's a what is. You understand?
So this is the first time I've heard something about your Jerusalem that made me. It's almost like things just fell into place about what my Jerusalem after the flesh has been. I never quite got it.
Okay. But it's a biggie.
It is a biggie.
Your Jerusalem is the way you think things should be.
Yeah, they haven't been a good Jerusalem.
But it has to have all components. I mean, if there is anything left, whether it's physical, soulish, spiritual, natural appearance, if there is anything left of the way you think things should be, then there's still a stone standing on top of another. And the purpose of the fast of Ab is to see, is to open that up, and it will come out in the fasting, because you'll get irritated. So that by prophecy and by exhortation, that those last few stones that are standing on top of each other will be destroyed. Now, otherwise, this fast is totally meaningless unless you see its purpose. The thing that I've never said before, because I didn't know it before, is that the most since the beginning, since the earliest Hasidic Jews back at before the Second Temple, they have consistently believed that Messiah will appear on the fast of Ab. In fact, some of them have gone so far as they curtail the fasting at noon and have a party to welcome Messiah.
Now that's a great idea.
Probably they get it from the scripture about the fasting turning to joy. And what could do that except the Messiah?
Yeah, I knew there was something that was sitting
there. But it's with that in mind, and with the idea of moving, and I mean all the stuff that I've said for the last couple of weeks about moving from the position of in Christ, of Christ in you, to the position of in Christ, it's a I hope I've been able to communicate the importance of this. Does everybody understand?
You've seen something that I haven't seen yet. That, you know, I've always understood that to a certain degree, but it's like something's got you on it that I haven't.
Yeah, what got me is, first of all, it started before it, but it was emphasized on the ship. That when you move to the in Christ position, you get on board the ship, and there's no way off the ship. The gangplank is up. You get in the ark, and the ark closes. All of your options, all of your what ifs, all of your maybes, all of your should haves, all of that die when you move in Christ.
Because you're in the ship, and you're out in the water.
There's no escape.
And everything outside is contained.
Yes, the important part of that is everything, it's not only condemned, everything outside of the ship is on fire. Now, when you read the readings for this feast or fast, with that in mind, remember that we include the readings of Jude and 2 Peter 2 and 3 You know, those are part of the readings. And that then makes sense about... All right.
That pulling somebody out of the fire, then, by definition, is pulling them into Christ.
Right. Does everybody understand? Beginning. All right. The Fast of Ab occurs, obviously, on the ninth of the month of Ab. The ancient Jews, all rejoicing and anything for pleasure, was curtailed on the first of Ab. During the week preceding the ninth, it was forbidden to cut hair or to wash clothes. The day before, you cannot eat meat of more than one course, or drink wine. Not eat a meal of more than one course, nor eat meat, nor drink wine. The bed is turned over, as well as the chairs and couch. Now, also, the thing they do, primarily they eat one egg. And I saw this obscure reference, and for some reason it just made me go crazy, where it said that that's the time when they eat the egg from the Passover plate.
It'd be a feast in the middle of a fast, one egg.
No, they eat it before the fast starts, so that evening.
They eat the Passover egg? That's a long time.
They're talking about it symbolically.
Chinese.
There's one section I'm not ready to do yet. There's four other questions. There's a miniature kind of a Haggadah for the Fast of Ab, and the youngest asks four different questions that are pretty awesome.
Why can't we wear shoes?
What use is this?
Why are you doing this to us?
You know, the people always don't think that.
They think it's...
They love it.
Yeah, they don't think it is.
Don't they also
cover... The younger they are, the more they like it.
They cover all the mirrors and stuff?
Oh, yeah, no mirrors.
Mornings.
Cover pictures.
Yeah, all... Well, they didn't have any photographs and they didn't have any art, but... I mean,
if they did,
yeah. The bed is turned over, as well as chairs and couches. And thus, sleeping and sitting on the ground is a sign of mourning. In general, on the ninth of Ab, you enter into the same rules of mourning as you do if your nearest of kin died. Now, what you're mourning for, if you can hear this, is you're mourning for all of your and you. Mourning is wild, but you're mourning for all of your hopes and dreams and desires and what is and what you thought should be.
Your Jerusalem.
And you gotta let him, and you gotta let him be. Boom, dead. Everybody understand that?
For some of us, it should be here.
Do you have some? You want to expand on
those
the
of
tale?
Us who are 50 and older, it should be easier.
What does that
to
mean?
Mourn for our hopes and dreams. Obviously not.
He's speaking of something
when you're 18 or 19 or 20.
He's speaking of something in particular that you'd like to edify the class with.
No, I'm speaking of Gary and I. Gary. I wasn't even thinking of you or Dave.
Okay, on the ninth of Ab, it was decreed that the fathers should not enter the promised land. Numbers 14.
What?
Jeez.
I don't remember that one. The fathers?
Yeah, the people
who
came out of Egypt.
The people that came out of Egypt.
They'll die. Their carcasses will fall in the wilderness.
It was decreed that they should not enter the promised land. Oh. That's Numbers 14:1. The temple was destroyed the first time. I won't give you all these. On the seventh of Ab, the heathen set it on fire. And they desecrated it. On the seventh, the heathens entered into the temple. Remember, on the 17th of Tammuz, they had entered into the wall of the city. On the 7th of Ab, they entered into the temple. They ate and desecrated inside the temple, and on the 9th of Ab, they set it on fire. Okay, the temple was destroyed the second time in 70 AD. That's when the priests were the assigned reading in the three-year cycle was Psalm 94, which is the really kind of bad one. And then it gets down to verse 23 of Psalm, and it says, "You are right in destroying us," or something like that. And then they threw the keys in, up to the kingdom, into the heavens, and a hand. Right.
This is, I'm just thinking how, you know, the heathen didn't sit around and say, "Hey, it's, those Jews are having ads, it's about time to go wipe them out." You know, they didn't keep track of the Jewish calendar, so it's just real obvious because year after year, God
Amen.
Brought this all about.
Now, on the, also on the Fast of Abba, I don't know, we've talked about this before, but Bethar was captured. That was the last stronghold in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and that's when all of the possibility of rebuilding the temple and that rebellion was destroyed on the ninth of Ab, and the city was plowed under. A lot of rock was left. On the Fast of Ab, Gamaliel was condemned to death and died, and he was considered, you know, the title of Nasi, which is like the biggest, but they confused it with, remember, Nose Man? They confused the Hebrew title Nasi with the Latin word Nasus, which means nose. And a Roman officer called out, "The Nose Man is wanted, the Nose Man is wanted." Anyway. And they threw themselves into the fire. A Jew who had any litigation with Gentiles should avoid him. From the first, some say to the 10th, but better to the 15th of that.
Make sure. Go on a cruise.
Because if you have litigation with a Gentile during that period of time, you're subject to fate.
What is litigation in any sort of legal dealings, any sort of contracts or anything like that?
Any contracts whatsoever. Obviously, no rejoicing at all was nothing done for entertainment or your rejoicing or your pleasure. We've talked about this, all eating, all drinking, all bathing, all anointing, all wearing of shoes, all wearing of sex. No smoking, obviously. It's forbidden to read the law, the prophets, the writings, the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Midrash, the Halakah, the Agadah, except the assigned readings. Lamentations, Job, Jeremiah, the bad parts. Psalm 119, Baruch, Letter of Jeremiah, Song of the Three Young Men, and Prayer of Manasseh. Anyone who does any work or does anything for their pleasure and does not fast or does not mourn on this day will not share in her joy. It's Isaiah 66. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And again, the curse is if they do not fast. Let me read you the curse. Well, it says their iniquities, all of their own iniquities, shall be upon their bones. Now, there's another reading that I have not told you about before, but it's a really important one. It's Deuteronomy 14. No, it isn't. Shut up. Oh, it's Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 68.
Whoa.
Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Oh, six reasons Jerusalem was destroyed. First, they said, the vision is for many days hence. Yes. Will somebody go and read? As Harry, go to Ezekiel 12, 25 through 27. Do you have a Bible, Pat?
25.
Go to Proverbs 29:9. And Pete, go to Proverbs 9:7. Well, there's a whole bunch of them here. Go to Psalm Isaiah 56:10, Psalm 22:20. Barbara, go to Matthew 7:6. Okay. The first reason it was destroyed is they said that the vision or the end is many days hence.
For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are afar off.
No, none of you would do that, right? None of you think you've got there's a whole lot of time.
We'll deal with this tomorrow.
You have all these little schemes and plans and sorceries that are going on. None of us would do that,
right? Scarlet O'Hara defense.
You understand the seriousness of saying, and you say it by the plans, that the vision is for many days hence. The second reason Jerusalem was destroyed is wise men contended with fools.
Yeah,
that's bad. Let's read Psalm 29. Read like around wherever it seems right, around 8 or 9, starting at 7 or 8 in there.
The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul.
Okay, if a wise man contend with a fool, there is no rest. These aren't going because of any.
This isn't by type.
This isn't any type for you, Peter. Wise men corrected scorners. Read 9. It started, I think, 5, isn't it? Third reason is wise men corrected scorners.
Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee.
Okay. The fourth reason, and I can't find the scripture. Somebody has to help me. This is from the Talmud. The fourth reason that it was destroyed is that you believe that the same thing befalls Israel as befalls other people. In other words, the same thing is going to happen to you is going to happen to everybody else.
Neither do good nor evil.
That's part of it, but there's a specific one. The same thing that befalls Israel as befalls other nations, and we can look that up later. Okay, the fifth thing, reason, is they gave what is holy to dogs. Okay, read Isaiah 56, 10 and 11.
His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his grain from his quarter.
Okay. Give that which is holy to dogs. There's some more. So. Do you have a Bible? Read Psalm 22, verse around 20, a couple before it.
Be thou not far from me, O Lord. All my strength has thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog.
Okay. What is the dog?
Somebody who will eat anything, just take anything in.
It's several things, but one of the main things is that it's a temple prostitute.
Male prostitutes. What is the darling?
My darling, Christ, the power of the dogs. Now, somebody go to Micah 3:11 and in that area explains it more fully.
The heads thereof judge for forward, and the priests thereof teach for hire.
This is the definition of a dog, by the way.
The prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.
Is that 11?
Yeah.
Read. What's 10? Read from 9, I think.
Hear this, I pray, ye heads of the house of Jacob and the princes of the houses of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads therefore judge for reward, and the priests therefore teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they not lean upon the Lord and say, is it not the Lord among us? None evil shall come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become as heaps, the mountains of the house of the high places as forest.
And this is real critical, if you understand this. And it's absolutely critical that everyone that is a Levite or a Bible study teacher understand this. That if you are gaining sustenance from teaching, then you are by definition a spiritual dog because you're doing it for hire. So if teaching, and I'm sorry to say this, but you've got to hear this, that if he needs a Bible study for sustenance, then he is doing it for hire.
Yes,
and if anyone is doing what they're doing for sustenance, they're doing, I don't care what it is, then you're a spiritual dog. And the prayer of God is protect my darling from the power of the dog. Because it's so subtle. It's so sincere.
In light of that, the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple is really, it's really clearly a blessing.
Oh, yes.
Because by taking away all success and taking away all gain, then it reveals the dog. And it makes it possible to do it in truth.
Amen.
And
amen.
It's really
isn't
cool. There's no way to gain.
Isn't it the other side of the coin of saying no evil can come upon us to say evil will come upon us, to be concerned about that either way?
Either way. Either way is... All of this can be, in a strange way, summarized by the reason Jerusalem was destroyed is because the priests and the Levites and the prophets and the people became time dependent.
They thought about. It wasn't abandonment.
It was
like saying the thing that I remember.
Either something good or something bad is going to happen. You know, or everything bad will happen, or everything
good. It's like when Jeremiah says, you know, say not the temple of the Lord
is
are
this,
these.
Or are these.
It's like they said that this is the temple of the Lord.
Okay.
So he's got to destroy it.
Okay, Barbara, go to Matthew 7, verse, read like 4, 5, and 6.
For how wilt thou say, thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn you and rend you.
Okay. Give not that which is holy to dogs. Okay, now there's a whole bunch of other stuff you can study, but we got time.
I only have 5 reasons why Jerusalem.
The one that you didn't write was the same thing befalls. Oh, no, that is 5. The sixth one, excuse me. Judy, go to Job 5, 17 and 18. Gary, go to Psalm 94, 12 and 13. And Josanna, go to Hebrews 12, verse 4, 5, or 6, or something like that. The biggest reason that they
that Jerusalem was destroyed was they did not endure chastisement. Now, this is a real, I mean, there's real spiritual type of why the persons that are reading this.
Now, quick question while they're looking that up. Would Doug get a blessing for pointing out that we only had five reasons?
That's good. That, he gets a blessing to Rabbi Doug.
Oh, I think that's my first blessing.
I think it is.
I think
my first blessing.
Wow. I think that's how he appreciates
it's a blessing, a blessing of omission as opposed to commission.
Well, whatever.
Well, that's a good blessing.
No, I'll take what I trivialize.
They did not endure chastisement. Does everybody remember that's why Judy's reading this?
Okay.
But she's learned her lesson, right?
We'll see.
Behold, happy is the Judy whom God created. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole.
Amen. You gotta see that.
94:12. 13. This is the bad song. Blessed is the Gary whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of hard labor or adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked.
Amen. That psalm was the reading for the 3-year cycle. 94th psalm was a reading for the 3-year cycle on the 9th of Av. So the priests were reading it, and as I said, in verse 23 was when they said, they read verse 23 and said, Father, we're not worthy, and then they threw the keys up and were consumed by the fire. Read 23.
That's an interesting thing, where it says, until the pit be digged for the wicked. It's like in Thessalonians, talk about, you know, until the man of lawlessness is revealed. You know, I mean, it's like that's that process.
The wicked one, yeah.
Verse 23, it says, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
And then the confession is, Father, we are not worthy, we have not been worthy, we will not be worthy to be keepers of these keys to the kingdom. Tossed them up, and they flung themselves into the fire.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Does anyone believe that there is anything that can befall them that you think of as negative that isn't from the hand of God? Let me rephrase that one. Does anyone believe that the things that happens to them that are negative during the time it happens to them, do they believe that it's from the hand of God?
While it's happening.
You believe it, you may not like it.
Yeah. Not many people remember it.
Usually you're just upset.
I think you remember it. You're just not wrong to accept it.
Well, with that in mind, it can give you great peace. But what happens is our mind deceives us, and it ascribes the reason for your being upset to some other place other than the Lord. And once the evil one has succeeded in doing that, then he's got you. But once you ascribe whatever you think of as negative as from the hand of God, that's freedom. That means that you can never blame me again. Gary.
You got an agenda here. Well, it seems abundantly clear to me that
Harry,
the big guy, wanted Ab changed.
Big guy.
There's no doubt in my mind.
For the way.
Okay, well, that covers the bases.
You know, I was struck tonight by what all
happened, and it was like the faithfulness of God was manifested in this calling us, you know, to another place. And candidly, that scripture, I believe it's Corinthians, that God is faithful to have called you to the fellowship of His Son. And how regardless of what we do, there's always that God is faithful in calling us and bidding us to go on.
Yeah, we've been proceeding from faith to faith, even though we didn't look like it. But in the in Christ position, you proceed from glory to glory. Now that's something to look forward to. I've got one for you, but I don't think I can. No, it's just take too long. No, I'm going to do it later. Take it large person.